Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Ed Moya, senior market analyst over at Oanda. And Ed, boy oh boy, there's a lot for us to talk about today because there's a lot of red on the screen. You look at the U.S. equity markets, the S&P is down almost 4% as we're recording this. The Dow is down a little over 3%, which is over 1,000 points lower. NASDAQ is down 4.5%. That's a little over 600 points down. Now, Ed, a lot of these, I guess, downward moves today, at least what I'm reading, is blaming it on the tensions, potential war coming out of Ukraine and Russia. Now, I realize we can get some pretty extreme moves around these geopolitical issues. But Ed, do you think that's fair to blame this weakness today that is really across the board in a lot of sectors simply on the potential of escalating tensions and a war between Russia and Ukraine?
I think Wall Street's getting hit with a double dose of bad news. And Russia-Ukraine tensions are part of the equation. But over the weekend, I think a lot of traders, what they were reading, a lot of analyst notes talking about an aggressive Fed rate hiking cycle. There's a chorus of people talking about Fed's going to kick off an aggressive rate hiking cycle, possibly 50 basis points in March, and that you're going to see balance sheet runoff kick off a lot sooner than expected, not July, possibly sooner. And that you're no longer seeing 4% growth for the year. You're looking at 2.5 or even lower. And when you throw on top of that possible military conflict, the optimism that we were having for 2022, it just seems like it's disappearing. The equity markets were vulnerable just because we were, I think a lot of traders were just nervous about some of these valuations, and earnings were somewhat disappointing. You had some big misses, and now I think you're what we've seen was there's been a couple bubbles that have been popped. Meme stock mania, you've seen that one completely get annihilated. Look at GameStop, look at AMC, look at Tesla. Those were some of the key retail trades that have gotten crushed. There is capitulation in the markets right now, and you're just seeing a lot of panic selling, and this is hitting everything. At first it just looked like it was the NASDAQ, and now it's being passed on to the S&P, the Dow, and remember, it seemed that, a week ago we were talking about this was all about surging interest rates. And then the 10-year Treasury yield, it looked like we were going to 190, then 2%. But now Treasury yields are going down. The 10-year is down 3.5 basis points. We're at 172. And this panic selling, this is right now, this is a de-risking moment. And I think that you have a lot of traders. They're having trouble getting used to this market environment. Throughout the pandemic, we were just so used to just having all this accommodation in place and buying the dip. Every time there was a dip, that was bought. Now you're back into a more of a, believe it or not, this is more of a normal market setting, and there's not a lot of confidence right now. And I think you still have to take a look at a longer term picture and say, well, going forward, at what point, do these valuations look attractive? And I think that, you're probably going to start to see some investors say, well, it probably doesn't make it probably looks attractive right here, I think, to start to be constructive. I think the growth story for the U.S. economy is still there, and you're probably going to have investors become a little bit more optimistic. I think that I think the markets may have gotten a little overboard on some of this Fed hawkishness. I think that, yes, they're doing everything now that they can because they were late to fight inflation. But look at what is happening to growth forecasts. And this is something that will eventually disrupt labor conditions. And I think that the Fed knows that they They don't want to do that. And if the Fed is concerned about making sure that that maximum employment labor box is still checked off, I think they can go ahead and say, we can still raise 25 in March and then signal another 25 is happening and that balance sheet runoff is still poised for the summer, and markets will embrace that. So I think that the Fed is still, I think the market can handle, you know, 3 to 4 rate hikes, a balance sheet runoff in the summer, and we'll still be poised to head back towards record high territory. Right now, the markets are getting the jitters because it looks like we could see 5 rate hikes, a much more aggressive balance sheet runoff, and the full-scale military conflict. The military conflict, you know, the whole situation with Ukraine tensions, that is a big wild card. And that's one thing that, you know, it's really hard to get a handle on that. But that seems like that could be dragged out for a while. And the situations are intensifying. And I think China, I think, you know, given the Olympics, given some of the communications that I'm sure that are happening behind the scenes, I think there are expectations that, you know, we're not going to see something immediately happen.
Well, there definitely is no shortage of things going on. As far as the conflict, yeah, it's a wild card. It could give the Fed some cover, though, I guess, to pause their hawkish policy. But I'm a little confused as to why the markets would wait till now to start reacting when this has been so well telegraphed by the Fed. They've been talking about the tapering and the rate hike cycle forever, it seems like. And so this was well known by the marketplace. But you're right to point out that it seems like the tree has been shaken in the speculative assets, from Tesla to the meme stocks to a lot of the growth stocks have just been absolutely hammered. Do you think it's a good spot here to start looking at things like the growth sector again after so many of them are down 40, 50, even 60%?
Well, I think you have to be smart. I mean, there's certain stocks that I would be skeptical about. Once we're beyond the pandemic, you know, some of these pandemic stocks, the Pelotons, I would be very skeptical. Some companies like the GameStops, the AMCs, I mean, people are, you can watch the movie at the theater or already, you know, at your house. You know, people are able to just download a video game. And I know GameStop is going to try to get into cryptos. A lot of these stocks, I think that, you know, the revenue potential is just that it could be there, but it seems like it's a crapshoot. So I think you have to, you know, go for, you know, proven winners, companies that, you know, have solid growth potential, and whether it's, you know, large opportunities with the cloud, you know, looking at the Microsofts, you know, I think Amazon, you know, a lot of the mega cap stocks that, you know, have, you know, significant leads in the cloud space, you know, the Amazons, those are the big plays that are likely to continue to dominate. And I think that they're likely to, you know, remain, you know, key holdings for a lot of investors going forward. But I think, you know, for a lot of traders, you know, they, you know, the reason that they got nervous recently was because you started to see the market really didn't know exactly how to go ahead and price or really anticipate, you know, what this, you know, Fed rate hiking cycle was going to be. And I think fear was, you know, everyone knew that we were going to get rate hikes. Everyone knew that the Fed was going to do the balance sheet runoff. They just didn't know, or they misunderstood that the Fed was going to have to be make up for the mistake of being so slow in acting. I think that you're seeing that, you know, for a lot of traders and a lot of analysts, I think that, you know, there was a lot of froth in the market. And I think, you know, one of the key things that we saw was, you know, when the crypto bubble popped and you saw the meme stock bubble pop, and it was just kind of a domino effect. And now you're seeing equities just start to kind of be the next domino that comes here, right? That's going in. There's a lot of reasons to be, I think, still optimistic for U.S. equities, and I think that you're probably going to see that for a lot of traders, they were anticipating, you know, more support from the government, and when Build Back Better never happened, that was a big blow to the cyclical trade, and I think there was a lot of things that went wrong in January, and you know, this has not been a good start for the year, and I think it's been the worst start since 2016, and you're probably going to see that a lot of traders, you know, especially the new ones that got started during the pandemic, this has been a rude awakening, and they're not used to these market conditions. So you're having a lot of novices now really, you know, learn lessons the hard way. And, you know, as someone who myself personally, when I got crushed during the tech bubble, you know, I think that this is really going to be a very difficult trading period for a lot of traders. So you should anticipate that we're going to see probably still some excessive volatility here. But I think, you know, for long-term investors, you know, you're looking at some pretty good discounts on some solid companies, and you know, you probably, I mean, I was surprised, you know, we're seeing S&P 500 down 3% today. You know, for European investors, you know, your stock 600 down 3.8. That's biggest fall since June 2020. So these are significant moves. And when you take into consideration, you know, the catalysts, you know, it's fascinating to see that you know, this is all because of mostly, you know, rate hike fears and tensions from the Ukraine situation.
Well, Ed, just to clarify, when I was asking you before on the growth stocks, I was thinking more like the ARK Innovations, the Cathie Woods kind of stocks where, and I agree with you, a lot of investors got started over the last year or two and have had a rude awakening now that this is what a correction actually looks like. It's not even that big of a correction, really, but it's just they're so used to having the dip bought right back that there's probably a lot of novice investors that just got started over the last year or so that are having their first experience of what a pullback is. But I was wondering, there's so much of the narrative shifted over to, hey, everything's gone from growth to value now, value, 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 that a lot of people are starting to say that maybe that's a crowded trade, and that some of these growth stocks that are more techy, you know, not the big cap Apples like you mentioned, but kind of those second and third tier technology stocks, do you think those represent or getting into an area where they represent an attractive buy point for investors?
I think some of those might, and I'm glad you brought up some of the hate that has gone towards Cathie Woods ARK, and that's short. It's amazing how well, obviously, they performed. That trade has been on fire as of recently, and I feel that that's kind of like been the anti or it just seems that. You know, it's just been Cathie's been. It seems like her fund's been picked on. The momentum behind that has been excessive. But I think that you're going to see that what we're learning is that there's a lot of trades that a lot of investors are now staying clear of, and there's a lot of shorts that a lot of money managers are saying like it's just not worth it. The way the market is going, you're probably, you know, looking at some of those smaller tech companies. I think that you're probably going to see that there will be some very good pops on a lot of those because I think there will be some difficulty in some of the mega cap tech ones to rally as quickly back to the record highs, and you'll see that the smaller ones will likely have an easier path higher. But it's I think this first quarter is going to be extremely difficult because you're going to have elevated volatility with treasuries. And I think the likelihood that you're going to see treasury yield volatility remain elevated and possibly the 10-year, you know, making that run to 190 and possibly 2%, some of those smaller tech stocks might struggle in that environment. So, you know, you're probably going to want to have a more of a layered approach in scaling into some of those positions if that's something you're considering, because I think you might see some significant swings over the next couple of months as we lead up to that March Fed rate hike liftoff.
So, Ed, when we see a day like today where there is so much red on the screen, I think it's always important to look to the few markets that are up and see where money is moving. This is very much, as you even put to us pre-recording, a risk-off type of day where really financial assets are down. So then what is up? And on my screen, I'm seeing the US dollar up about 30 points. So it's right around almost at 96 again on that dollar index. We also have gold that's up about $4 to $5 on the futures market. Unfortunately, the gold stocks are getting crushed. We also have treasuries, TLT I'm looking at. That's up, but not very much. So this whole risk-off trade, is that the theme here? And I'm sure people are wondering, why aren't some of these risk-off areas running much more on such a down day like we're seeing?
Today's a fascinating day. And I think that for traders, given today's, de-risking day, it seems like part 10, but now we really had just a few major de-risking days. The move in the dollar, is expected. You know, you have treasury yields down 3 basis points. Gold is fascinating. Gold has a price barrier. You know, that 1850 level has been holding up. Typically when you have, and there is some panic selling in some pockets on Wall Street, gold has held up pretty nicely. And this is speaking volumes for it. And I think that gold is starting to stand out. You have an environment here where investors are going to start to be looking for some protection. Now, gold, throughout the last year, lost a lot of its luster to Bitcoin as an inflation hedge, or even for some people as a safe haven. And now what you're starting to see, gold is going to, I think, eventually become once again, a core holding for a lot of money managers, pension funds, and I think in this environment where you're going to have a lot of advanced economies be worried about growth, not maybe necessarily for this year, but really for next year and the following year, where, gold holdings might dramatically increase in the next couple of years. You're looking at, I think, a very strong environment here for gold. And I think that when you're taking a look at some of the recent moves, gold I think has been for a lot of traders been something that has really fallen off their radar. But the ETFs have been finally surging. The SPDR Gold Shares Report had the biggest inflows since listing in 2004. So I think you're really looking here at a major turnaround for gold. So I think that the gold trade is likely here to really gain a lot of momentum. And I think that the risks are growing to the outlook. There's so many geopolitical concerns, whether it's Russia, Ukraine, UAE, Turkey. You have a lot of investors that are, desperate for safe havens, and a lot of them, they were gravitating towards the cryptos, and I think that now they've too many have been burned by crypto, and they're reviewing gold now as that's much more stable. And I think you're probably going to see gold outperform. So I think in this environment right now, you're going to see treasuries remain in demand, and I think gold is going to be probably a strong performer, going forward. And I think that now, if we continue to see this equity route, if gold should probably continue to be steady, if not appreciate going forward.
Well, Ed, just one more thought on the cryptos before we wrap up here, and that is, we did hear a lot of last year that the Bitcoin and the cryptos in general were a better inflation hedge, and that they're a better store of value, that they were gold 2.0. But we saw, Bitcoin top out at 69,000 in November, right as we were getting a 6.8% CPI reading on the inflation. And then in December, we had a 7% CPI reading. And in 2 months, Bitcoin has been chopped in half by 50%. So that kind of throws a cold, wet blanket over the top of it being a great inflation hedge and better than gold, and even as a store of value. I mean, it's clearly just a speculative trading instrument. So do you think that narrative has kind of unraveled for the cryptoverse?
Yeah, but Bitcoin, I think Bitcoin suffered a major blow when I think a lot of investors realized that they're not getting that physically backed Bitcoin product. And then what also happened was a lot of crypto traders, they used to be, when you would look at their wallet, they would have, it would be, let's say, 50% Bitcoin, 30% Ethereum, and then you could say maybe 10% Dogecoin, and then a handful of other like meme type or dog type coins. and then all of a sudden, a lot of these crypto traders, they said, well, there's a tremendous amount of focus on all these other layer one protocols that are going to become the next big blockchain. Everyone started talking about Solana, Avalanche, Polkadot. And then what happened was everyone thought, okay, well, Bitcoin is you think cryptos, you think Bitcoin, but Bitcoin, it's only going to go to 100,000. So 60,000 to 100,000, I'm not even going to double my money. But Solana might triple, I might 5x, 10x, Avalanche might even do more. Ethereum easily double or triple. So all these traders, they said, okay, I'm going to just reduce Bitcoin. I'm going to go 20% on all these coins and maybe only 20% on Bitcoin. So all of a sudden now you had all these portfolios reduce their exposure to Bitcoin. So now you had retail really lower their exposure to Bitcoin, and institutional traders were riding this volatility. They wrote it up. A lot of them wrote it down. And then there was this belief that there was going to be this next plunge. And retail got on board with that. And retail was thinking we're going to plunge once more below 40,000. And that actually happened. And now we're at 35. And 35 was a key level. This is a key level where a lot of people thought this was where we were going to start to see things stabilize. So this is, if this level breaks, then right now, most people that got into crypto last year, most people are losing money. So this is, you could see a tight leash on this trade, and this could get very ugly, very fast, even uglier. I mean, for a lot of crypto traders, the ones that have been in it for years, they're used to, 60, 70% drawdowns. And I say that casually, but they really are. So this is going to be a key moment for Bitcoin, but there is still that belief that a lot of these guys, they're saying keep the faith. They're saying like, oh, I'm putting out this tweet so I can remember that when I sell at 100,000 that I bought more today. There's still a lot of people that are believing that, you know, this is still a long-term hold. There are a lot that are panicking and they think that this is going to go worthless and it's going to go to zero. And there's fears that, you know, the Fed's paper on digital currencies is paving the way that, you know, digital dollar is on its way. And I think that a digital dollar is going to happen, but it's probably, you know, I think it's years away. That paper did not provide any confidence that that's happening anytime soon. And it also reminded us that Congress has to approve it and the executive branch. There's so many more hurdles for that to happen. And I think that you're not 1 year, you're not 2 years, you're not three, you're probably more from that from ever happening. So I think we're at an interesting point for cryptos, but I think the market has, it will always will remain volatile, at least it seems. I think that this is probably going to be, we're approaching levels where there's a lot of institutional money that loves this volatility. And I think that you might be approaching levels that were what they might start to say, this is an opportunity here to maybe try to pump it. So, it'll be interesting to see if that happens, or if not, they're going to try to write it down to 20,000. So this is all momentum trading. If we have equities continue to do panic selling, you know, Bitcoin is the riskiest asset. This will lead the sell off, but if things stabilize, you know, then, you know, I think you could see then, you know, this be the one of the key rebounding risky assets. So this is definitely a one to watch, but not going to be trading on its fundamentals right now. This is going to be, I think, kind of your leverage, your risky asset right now.
All right, Ed, we're going to wrap it up there. Boy, oh boy, what an interesting day for the markets. And it really has been choppy leading up to today, all of this year, and even at the tail end of last year. And this is all timing with another Fed meeting this week and now also some geopolitical fears. So let's see how it all plays out. But man, there's a lot of red on my screen today. Ed, thank you as always for your time. We'll chat again next week. Hope you have a great rest of your week.
Thank you. You too.